Blog Talk Radio.
Let's just prepare our hearts to worship the Lord, because He is worthy of praise, honor, and glory. That we can come before Him and lay down our lives before Him and just lift up our hearts and thank Him. Glory to Your name, Lord God. You alone are worthy. You are King and Lord of all.
my God and King. Your excellence, my inspiration, your words of grace have made my spirit sing. You love what's right and hate all evil. Therefore, your God sets you on high and on your head pours oil of gladness while fragrance fills your royal palace.
Yeah.
magnify your name. Because you alone are worthy of the highest praise. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb of God. To
Praise the Lord. As we continue to look at purpose in prayer, tonight we're going to look just a few minutes at prayer and desire. And we look at one point and we see where it is blessed, or it's stated, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we see that these heaven-given appetites are the proof of a renewed heart. It's the evidence of a stirring of the spiritual life. Spiritual appetites are the attributes of a living body, not of a corpse, and spiritual desires belonging to a soul made alive to God. And as the renewed soul hungers and thirsts after righteousness, these holy inward desires break out into earnest supplicating prayer. And in prayer, we are shut up to the name, merit, and intercessory virtue of Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Probing down, we see below the accompanying conditions and forces in prayer. We come to its vital basis, which is seated in the human heart. It is not simply our need. It is the heart's yearning for what we need and for which we feel impelled to pray. Desire is the will in action, a strong conscious longing, excited in the inner nature for some great good. Desire exalts the object of its longing and fixes the mind on it. It has a choice and fixedness and flame in it and prayer. Based there on is explicit and specific. It knows its need and feels and sees the thing that will meet it and hastens to acquire it. A holy desire, we come to see, is much helped by devout contemplation, meditation on our spiritual need and on God's readiness and ability to correct it, aids desire to grow. Serious thought engaged in before praying increases desire, and it makes it more insistent and tends to save us from the menace of private prayer. Wandering thought. We fail much more in desire than in its outward expression. We retain the form while the inner life fades and almost dies. One might ask whether the feebleness of our desires for God, the Holy Spirit, and for the fullness of Christ is not the cause of our so little praying and our languishing in exercise of prayer. Do we really feel that these inward pantings of desire after heavenly treasures, do the inbred groanings of desire stir our souls to mighty wrestlings? The fire burns altogether too low. The flaming heat of our soul has been tempered down to the tepid lukewarmness, and this should disturb us, but it doesn't. This, it should be remembered, was the central cause of the sad and desperate condition of the Laodicean Christians, of whom the awful condemnation is written, that they were rich, yeah, and increased in goods, yes, and had need of nothing, yes. And they knew not that they were wretched and miserable, poor and blind. Again, we see something happening. We might well inquire, have we the desire which presses us to close communion with God, which is filled with unutterable burnings and holds us there through the agony of an intense soul-stirred supplication? It should be that our hearts need much to work over, not only to get the evil out of them, but to get the good into them. And the foundation of the inspiration to the incoming good is strong, propelling desire. This holy and fervent flame in the soul awakens the earnest of heaven. It attracts the attention of God and places at the disposal of those who exercise it the exhaustless riches of divine grace. The dampening of the flame of holy desire is the destructive of the vital, aggressive forces in church life. We see it that God requires to be represented by a fiery church, or he is not in any proper sense represented at all. God himself is all fire, and his church, if it is to be like him, must be also a white heat. The great and eternal interest of heaven-born, God-given religion are the only things which about the church can afford to be on fire. Yet holy zeal need not be fussy in order to be consuming. Our Lord was the incarnate of nervous excitability, the absolute opposite of intolerant or clamorous declamation, yet the zeal of God's house consumed him, and the world is still feeling the glow of his fierce, consuming flame and responding to it with an ever-increasing readiness and an ever-enlarging response. A lack of ardor in prayer is the sure sign of a lack of depth and intensity of desire, and the absence of intense desire is a sure sign of God's absence from the heart. To abate fervor is to retire from God. He can and does tolerate many things in a way of infirmity and error in his children. He can and will pardon sin when the penitent prays, but two things are intolerable to him, and that's sincerity and lukewarmness. Lack of heart and a lack of heat are two things he loathes. And to the Laodiceans, he said, in terms of unmistakable severity and condemnation, we will take a break and we will be right back. God is going to bless us as we continue to listen to his word and heed his word. We will be right back.
My heart is full of admiration for you, my Lord, my God and King. Your excellence, my inspiration, your words of grace have made my spirit sing. You love what's right and hate all evil. There righteousness, true.